ready.
Doesn't matter anymore.
Welcome to the North Salt Lake Trails and Act Transportation Committee for November 10th, 2025. We'll begin with welcome and introductions.
Do we need to?
We do names at all?
We all know each other.
Okay, great, and we have no members of the public.
We needed two for the recording.
Yeah, for recording, just say our names.
Okay.
Brent Crowther.
John Rukert.
Ryan Oakes.
Peter Worthlin.
Pedro Hubner, citizen.
Ally Avery.
All right, next we will go to public comment. We have no members of the public. So next we'll go to approval of minutes of October 14th, 2025.
I read through all of them and I thought they were accurate. I thought they were good.
Did you say there was a change on the ending time?
No,
was
well,
recorded, or is
you're
that
just
correct?
Tracking the ending time so we could.
It was
there.
Impressive, is what I was.
Oh,
saying.
Oh, I got
it. It was adjourned at 7:19, and he was very proud.
Oh, yes,
it
exactly.
Didn't start with an 8.
I second your motion. Was that a motion?
I'll make the motion to approve them.
I second that, Pedro.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, next we go to the highlight of the evening, data privacy training. We'll turn the time over to Ally.
I thought you were going to say that. Never mind.
Okay. Because you guys are using like the SharePoint Drive, we have to take this data privacy training. I've been told by John that it's 8 minutes long.
It's 8 minutes, and it will probably relate to like 30 seconds of it will probably relate to what you guys do. Maybe not even that much.
Did we do this one?
Welcome to the Data Privacy Awareness Training. In the next few minutes, we'll explore what data privacy is, how it impacts us, and how we can all play a part in protecting it. Privacy is a core value in Utah's history and remains crucial in today's digital age. Governmental entities at all levels in Utah must uphold data privacy to protect citizens' interests, foster trust in public services, and ensure transparency and accountability. All governmental entities are subject to baseline data privacy requirements established in the Government Data Privacy Act, which we refer to as GDPA. In addition, some entities are subject to more specific or restrictive regulations, like the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, HIPAA, and the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, FERPA. Entities must understand and comply with privacy obligations to safeguard personal data and maintain public trust. What is data privacy? In the private sector, we often have the ability to choose what happens with our personal data. But when it comes to government services, we don't always have the same type of control. Either we provide our personal data to access important services, or we go without them. This contrast highlights the importance of data governance and its relationship to privacy. Data privacy refers to the protection and responsible management of personal data, ensuring that it is collected, accessed, used, and disclosed only as authorized. It safeguards an individual's control of their personal data, such as financial details, health information, and online activity, so the data is kept secure and used only for authorized purposes. GDPA plays a crucial role in data privacy by creating baseline requirements in law that govern how personal data should be collected, stored, used, and shared by governmental entities. How does records management relate to data privacy? Data privacy is tied to the records we create, from physical documents to digital data. Collecting personal data can be easy, but managing it is much harder. Without proper records management, from the collection of personal data to its disposal, government entities are likely to see lost productivity, unnecessary expenses, over-collection, and possibly even data breaches. Governmental entities must classify and organize records to safeguard an individual's data privacy.
Records must be managed according to their record series attributes, for example, how long they need to be kept, how sensitive they are, and what they are used for. Proper records management protects data privacy and transparency while allowing your entity to effectively use personal data to provide essential services. Data privacy obligations for government. Protecting an individual's personal data helps build trust between the public and government. Every governmental entity in Utah is required to initiate a data privacy program. This program is the framework by which your entity will implement data privacy practices that fulfill their data privacy obligations. Data privacy practices include safeguards to protect personal data, meet legal requirements, and inform individuals about their data privacy interests. The data privacy program of each governmental entity should be customized to meet its specific requirements while accounting for the baseline standards set by the GDPR. Here are some examples of privacy practices your privacy program may include. Designating a chief administrative officer who will be responsible for overseeing the governmental entity's data privacy program. Conducting an inventory of all the personal data collected and processed by the governmental entity. Providing a clear data privacy notice on forms when collecting personal data or user data. Ensuring that only the minimum amount of personal data is collected to achieve the governmental entity's purposes. Disposing of personal data according to approved retention schedules to ensure that personal data is not retained longer than necessary. Providing notice of a data breach to impacted individuals. Data privacy practices like these provide a strong foundation for your data privacy program. You should contact your entity's chief administrative officer if you are unaware of what data privacy practices you should be following. You can learn more about these and other generally applicable data privacy practices by visiting privacy.utah.gov.
Why did Amazon send me $20,000? Because I use Amazon AI.
The chief information administrative officer, because then it would be Chow.
Yeah.
Chow.
Did we pass? Is there a test?
No test.
Okay.
So this probably affects the data that we collect as we do trail service and any electronic form. So do we have a link or do we have something? Does the city have a standard data privacy waiver if we move those, the check-in to electronic? So if we instead said fill out this form to check in for a trail and we say here's the data privacy, we need your first name, last name, and email address, and click here if you want to subscribe to updates.
Yeah, there will probably be some disclaimer. I'm sure yeah. There's already some disclaimer the way we do it through the website.
That's if we choose to do
what
that.
It is. But
do we need to provide that disclaimer as we have people provide it in written form?
Great
question. So another question on that. So we have our SharePoint site that we put a lot of stuff in there. And so we're subject to this data privacy training. Are there things that we shouldn't have on that SharePoint, or is it the same SharePoint you guys use to run everything?
No, it's different. I mean, the personal records, I guess, that we have on that SharePoint would just be the volunteers that have their information.
Yeah, first, last name, email
first,
address.
Last name, so that's the kind of stuff that you're...
Which I think we had already talked about early on when we provided you with the SharePoint link. We were like, you can't use this contact information for you. Like, any emails or correspondence should come
it's for city,
from the city, you know, and only people who have the log into the SharePoint that have been given access to it have that. So
okay.
Is there a way that we can expand my SharePoint access so I can create a few things in SharePoint?
Yes.
You can't create?
No, they can't do anything.
I'd like to create a list.
We need to make a whole new SharePoint site.
I'd like, no. Just internal. If you gave me edit access, and not just collaborate.
I messed with it a couple months ago and gave edit access, and it doesn't work because you're outside the organization.
So okay. The citizen committee SharePoint that we have, I'm able to create folders and
yes.
upload
yeah,
files.
Yeah, the folders are fine. I'm talking about
but
if
you can't
we,
rename anything.
I'm talking about if we created, and maybe, I mean, creating a list isn't very difficult, but we can create a list of trails and have a list of issues and link them and even, and anyway, and it
could
take
we just
like
put like
minutes.
An Excel document uploaded
yeah.
in
yeah.
there, you guys
yeah.
can edit the Excel document, are you, can you do that, can
it's
you
a,
edit documents?
Yeah.
It's, it does both, you can explore yeah. those Excel, there's just a little bit more to it, but you can do Excel. So.
Alright, check it.
Thank you.
Alright, action items.
Not much has changed since the last meeting.
Ooh. There's something highlighted though.
Yes, there's something highlighted where that Peter knows about.
Yeah.
We went out on the Wild Rose to BST connection with Salt Lake City on the 4th to scout some options. And so the conversation we had with them is, what if instead of us doing that Band-Aid option that was the
yeah, just a quick
switchback, which the Forest Service seems amenable to, and they've said we would just have to follow the regulations from the 2020 NEPA for Davis County in order to do that. So that is a possibility, but we'd rather do the other route and
on the Salt Lake County side.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the Forest Service property.
Mm-hmm.
And but that would require constructing about 1,300 feet additional of the Bonneville Shoreline Trail in order to make that connection.
And additional Wild Rose connection.
Yes,
trail.
We in order
so
for
have
us
to
make
both.
The Wild Rose connection, we have to not only make the Wild Rose connection, but also extend the trail, which is why we've waited to construct it, is because we've been waiting for Salt Lake City to construct the Bonneville Shoreline Trail from where
dead
it dead ends in
yeah.
the middle of nowhere. But Salt Lake City.
So we would extend the Bonneville Shoreline
into Salt Lake.
Further
into
south
Salt
along
Lake.
That current alignment?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
So
along in south into Salt Lake, and then we'd want to do the same and have it
kind
of from Woods Cross or from the Wild Rose Bench, do the same thing and have it meet
and
up.
It's kind of paralleling the side of the like
yes.
side
oh,
of the mountain instead of
yeah.
a switchback. It's
correct.
Switchback.
It
yes.
would be a 2%
yeah.
or
yeah.
up to 5% if
yeah.
we wanted to.
Instead of switchbacks.
Instead of
I
a switchback.
Much better.
No, no, absolutely.
Yeah. So then
and
it
the
would
Band-Aid was
create
if
a loop.
Something else wasn't going to work.
It would create a loop so that people would stop, hopefully stop making trails up from Tunnel Springs, making random trails up from Wild
right.
Rose.
And they would,
make it, would have somewhere to go.
Yeah,
to
and potentially they Salt Lake would actually make a connector from that same junction that we would make. Potentially down to Tunnel Springs.
They have that on their plans. They will. They will. But
yeah.
so they halted all their trails development.
Again?
Yeah.
No,
no.
Oh,
this was before.
Okay.
A
couple years ago.
Then.
Two
so
or three.
So now they have a very specific process that they have to follow where they do like the planning,
zone
the design,
planning.
The you know, and so they're doing it by zone. So right now the first zone they're starting on is up by and
it's by Dry Canyon.
Oh, Dry Canyon. And
and then it's working itself around into the.
But they're not going
to
be on this north section until Let's see. They said they would start design in spring 2026, right?
It's probably ways out because it's
they'd
so
start
far
design
away.
In
yeah.
spring 2026.
Yeah,
so they wouldn't do construction until probably 2027 at the earliest.
Correct.
So what we were talking to them is like, hey, what if we build this 1,300 feet? Of Bonneville Shoreline Trail so that then we can build our Wild Rose connection. And if we do that, like what alignment works for you guys so that then you can continue it on your
yeah.
own? And then also like, could we have some type of agreement for you guys to, like we
to
give
maintain.
You this trail and you maintain it in future once you make the connection. So that was kind of the conversation we were having with them.
They would maintain or we would maintain?
We would maintain.
We would maintain until they take over the trail when they make the connection.
Okay. So we needed just an agreement that, hey, for the next 5 years, we'll maintain it, and then it's Salt Lake City, Salt Lake County.
And it might even be possible for us to say, hey, Davis County, since you're already maintaining all of this, can you maintain an extra 1,300 feet for 5 years?
Yeah, and we'd still need to maintain
5 years
or whatever number of years.
2027, it sounds like, right?
That's when they would start construction of the north section.
That'd be when they'd start. So, just to maybe align things a little bit more. So, it was Kyle Andrews and Tyler Fonero. Anyway, he goes, we can definitely get you a trail recommendation for both for Wild Rose and BST. We should be able to get you a timeline from when we can get that done at the end of next week. And this was a week ago, as we build out our own calendar for November, December. So
end of this week, we should have.
So end of December, end of this week, we should have we'll give you the trail alignment in December. And then from there, once we have the trail alignment, then it's actionable that we can go and get the NEPA, get whatever we need, and take it to council and say, hey, it's going to cost us whatever to get this trail cut, to continue this, and then we maintain it for X number of years, which we'll have to work out. And then it gets turned over, because they're going to have to maintain anything that's on their land. They'll have to end up maintaining, which means they'll end up maintaining part of the Wild Rose.
None of that is on their land.
Forest Service.
Okay.
Does Forest Service maintain it?
No, they would require us to maintain it. So we could get. Tyler was talking about having some MOU, some memorandum of understanding among the three of us, or four,
right,
including Davis County, the Forest Service, the North Salt Lake, and Salt Lake City, saying, hey, this is what the maintenance plan is. You know, North Salt Lake's going to maintain it until we make this connection or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was kind of what we talked about.
But anything in Salt Lake City, let's say in 10 years, it will be maintained by Salt Lake City.
Well, even the Forest Service one would be maintained by Salt Lake
City.
Right,
exactly.
Because we turn
it
over to them.
But they don't have the budget to do anything, including maintenance. And so
until they go through their process.
Agreement.
Yeah, they have a very different process.
So if we gave them, and the reason why we're saying 5 years is that gives us plenty of fuse to get it done, and for them to get their stuff done, and then take it over. And we could even say up to 5 years, but when this is complete, that may be the best thing for us to write in language.
So that's kind of what we talked about. There was no like formal agreement. It was just like, hey, let's talk this out. We walked the trail. We looked at it. So that ball is.
And so what's the next steps or the actions? You know, they're going to send back their schedule.
They're going to send back a schedule and
alignment.
What they think the alignment.
And then we would take that to council and say, can we construct this? Is that
exactly?
I think I would first send this to the Forest Service before I took it to council.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We'd want to get a lot of the groundwork done and even maybe get it. Well, we can't go to bid without council, right?
No. I think we would want to get it to the Forest Service first to see if we could have it all fall under that 2020 Davis County NEPA.
Yeah.
Which
so
I
we'll
think
be moving fast because it expires at the end of next year.
Yeah.
So we'll be moving fast on that to see if we can piggyback it on there. And if we can, that's great. If not, we're going to have to do a NEPA for the
small
section.
That would be tough.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome. Nice job, you guys, on that one. That's a big one.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun being up there with these guys. And, you know, they've changed things to where they have a full trails, like,
division.
They have their own crew. They have everything. And
is this only county or something?
City.
City.
Like city.
Yeah,
wow.
So they have their own everything.
They
just because they have so many. They have so many
trails.
And they're well used.
They've
so. And they share the same issues that we have with hikers, bikers, you know, and the unique behaviors of each user group. Is that the proper way of seeing that?
Yeah.
Sorry. So.
Okay, I love that. That's awesome.
Okay, but everything else is kind of the same from last time. We're still working on these themes of like the signups, but we haven't felt a real rush on any of it since we're not doing events right now.
On that Create Trails inventory, there is a PDF on the SharePoint Drive. I didn't open it. I just saw the title was like Inventory of Trails in North Salt Lake City or something. I think you put it on there. I didn't know if that was...
Okay. I'd have to look at it.
See,
I didn't even know about it.
That action item was why I got on, because I use SharePoint at work all the time for stuff. And so I was like, oh, I'm just going to create a list and just, you know,
throw it on there.
But if we must use Excel, it's just easier because you can do other things like, oh, we want to have a form that does issues, and then you have a drop down of that trail. You don't have to recreate that like you would in Excel.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it like a VLOOKUP,
mm-hmm.
all of that, you know, but it's like, it just makes that so easy, is just creating a list. Well, I could do it in 5 minutes if I had the access. So, but I understand that you don't want to give the citizen access, that type of access.
Part of the issue is you only have access to one folder. You don't have access to the SharePoint site.
Right.
Yeah, all of
you only have access in a folder in the SharePoint site.
TAD committee, yeah.
It doesn't cost you anymore.
I know. I just need... I experimented with this a couple months ago, so I know what I need to do to fix it.
Is there anything wrong with just having a full SharePoint site just for this group?
Probably not. I just have to talk to the recorder so she knows where all the stuff is.
Yeah, because I think that would be... Because then, if we needed to, at least if you guys have this turned on, we could even have the email address go right to a SharePoint list for comments that we could then address right there. Like, there's some cool stuff, and it just creates an alias.
So if we can get access, edit access, then the action item won't be for Peter. Training on how to do the SharePoint.
If you want, I can fire up a SharePoint site right now and train you guys.
I built one for the events committee. They don't use it. I don't even know it exists. I was just experimenting, but it took me.
Just call it Trails.
Yeah. It would probably take me, now that I've done everything, it'd probably take me 15 minutes to.
Yeah,
build
it doesn't take long to fire one up. And then if it's blank, we just move those files over into the document library, and then we click new list and we have trails inventory. What properties of the trail do we want to actually track? Do we want to use what three words or a GPS endpoint for beginning and end of the trail, and what do we call it? Segment one?
I think we've got a master plan that's underway where we have consultants who are going to do that for us.
Right.
And so they're going to provide us in a great format, GIS format, you know, with all those issues.
And we could import at least the most important properties to that list. That,
mm-hmm.
You know, because...
It would be nice if I could export that list directly into GIS as well.
Well, if you know what GIS is looking for, we can build the list based on that. And then it's in it, and you can always export from SharePoint into an Excel or a CSV and import that to GIS. So if you have the columns, if you do an export of anything from GIS, just do a blank export and we can build the columns that way.
I did talk to our concrete guy. He stopped by and looked at all those locations for the programs.
Okay.
You cut us?
So he's supposed to give me a bid back.
Well, that's
cool. That was end of last week when I talked to him.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Staff updates.
Right. We, like, selection committee for the Trails Master Plan met and has recommended SE Group. This will be later on the agenda for you guys to make your recommendation as a committee. The South Davis Greenway Study is...
Have you notified them?
SE Group, I said that they've been recommended, but that I had to go through this process. So
yeah.
I'll talk about that. Yeah, I'll talk about that.
Because we've got to have a motion to
South Davis Greenway is moving along. We had our first steering committee meeting earlier today. And there was an alignment change where we thought the alignment would be on US 89 in North Salt Lake, but it looks like that alignment is likely going to be up on Orchard Drive, rather, so that they can make a better connection into Bountiful City. Because Bountiful City wants to go along 200 West,
mm-hmm.
right?
Which is super wide.
and rather than going along 89, because they're gonna decommission that Bamberger Bridge.
Oh, would
take it out and build a new connection into
Woodcross
High School. The RFP's on the street now for the design.
Cool.
So I don't know what year
it's still a few years then.
I mean, they're doing design and it's construction plans, so I would guess construction.
So if it's construction ready, it's shovels in the ground in a year.
Probably, I would guess. Construction, it could be 2027, but I'd have to check. Maybe 2028. It's not that far out.
No.
So today at that meeting, we were discussing like which side of the road we'd be putting it on. I think that it's not decided, but we had discussed having it on the west side of Orchard Drive from Eagle Ridge to Center Street, and then crossing over to the east side and going east side all the way into Bountiful. And that would be like a path behind the curb.
Oh, behind the curb?
Yes.
Yeah. Behind
this
the curb.
So it's not
off-street.
This is not
a bike lane. This is an off-street path that would go all the way through South Davis County from basically connecting the Frontage Road and Salt Lake.
Reconstruct
frontage,
curb.
Frontage Road Trail in Salt Lake.
Project, yeah.
All the way up to Fruit Heights. I just want to let you guys know that in October, we were designated as a Just Serve city, so we've partnered with Just Serve to promote and recognize community volunteerism. So, as you guys have been talking about, like advertising it on Just Serve, like now we're going to be doing that regularly with community volunteerism.
That's great.
And then we already talked about the Forest Service coordination. I did coordinate with them on the reroute, the switchback one, which they said would.
Were they responsive?
Yes, they said it would only they would only need to follow the requirements of that 2020 decision, the NEPA decision for the Bonneville Shoreline Trail that Davis County did. So if we wanted to do that little Band-Aid option, that's there.
If
they
we're
already
a year
had,
away.
They already had botany and archaeology, I think, come out and look at it. And they were like, yeah, it's fine.
So I'm hopeful that they sort of feel like they looked at the whole thing while they're out there and just are gonna.
Well, I think we could easily say, like, hey, you went out there, but like, could you take a look a little bit
instead
this
of
direction?
Going left,
well,
go
a pipeline
right?
Yeah,
there, so
yeah,
we're
so
not gonna ruin anything.
But the Forest Service is they're very responsive, like, they've always been great for me to work with. It's just difficult for them to respond when they're short staffed or
totally.
When they're furloughed or
yeah.
you know, and so.
Yeah.
But I think they're very reasonable to work with.
With the shutdown, it was Salt Lake City was like, we can't get anything from them right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I did get a response. I got a response on October 16th during the shutdown.
Wow.
And she
that's
said,
great.
Most people are furloughed, but I've got these people, they've gone out and they've looked at it. And I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, I have them go look at the right side, or that.
Yeah.
That southeast side of it.
Yep. Once we get some type of an alignment from.
Yeah, which will be
mm-hmm.
yeah, December.
The Forest Service, that'll be my next step. And then you guys asked me to bring some grant opportunities, so I made a quick list today of here's some grant opportunities for trails or bike lanes or any type of like outdoor recreation type of stuff like that. So there are various opportunities. You can see them on the screen. I'm not going to read them all to you, but Wasatch Front Regional Council, UDOT, the Federal Transit Authority, the Utah Division of Outdoor Recreation is the one that has most of the grant opportunities, and then Davis County has some opportunities as well.
And that one, that first one from UORG might be, or the first and second one, first, even the second one too would apply for this if we shut down trail. If we shut down that steep section and are able to, because if we have alignment in December, anyway, might help us.
You're,
might be too soon.
When you say the second, what are you talking about?
Sorry, the two,
the
UORG
and
the next one down where it's the restoration
okay.
infrastructure.
Yeah.
And even that third, even that fourth. All of those four could definitely help on our stay.
I've used almost every one of these. I haven't done, I think the only one that I haven't done is the outdoor recreation planning assistance,
okay.
where you just use the Division of Outdoor Recreation staff to help you find stuff. And then the UCORD, the Utah Children's Outdoor Recreation Education, I haven't done that one. So I've done all of the other.
What are the details on the Prop 1 funds? Is that just active transportation?
Yes, that's roadways.
That's roadways.
So
okay.
They just recommended for that. So the side path on Pacific Avenue and Overland. So do you know where that is?
Is that the one just off Main Street?
Yes.
Yeah. And just, is Overland the one that goes to the right?
Your school, going to school route.
Yeah.
So
well, and
this
now
is
I
Main
take
Street, and this is
our 5K route.
I-15, yeah. So, and then this is 1100 North or 2600 South. So we, the railroad does not want pedestrians and cyclists going through this crossing because
one.
It's a really
yeah.
long crossing because of the skew. It's a really, really long crossing and it doesn't
well,
meet their safety
and if you
standards.
Have skinny wheels and
go off
big
the edge
gaps,
of the platform. Yeah.
Yeah.
You actually have to crisscross in such a way.
Yeah, it's
that you don't,
it's not
it's
ideal.
Horrible.
And so it doesn't meet their like safety requirements for crossing, so they want us to provide an alternative rather than, I mean, we could build a like
a bridge,
but that's outrageously expensive.
Yeah,
so
and no one would use it.
We're going to build a
pedestrian
side path that goes off of Main Street onto Pacific and then Overland and then out here. So with the expansion of I-15. It's actually UDOT is going to be building the Overland section. And then this interchange is going to be completely rebuilt.
Good God.
And there's going to be a bridge that goes over this to go to connect over to 800 West. And there will be a bike lane going over that. There will also be a separated pedestrian and bike facility that goes east and west. And
so this adds like an extra mile.
Yeah, it's like an extra mile. Yeah, it like kind of zigzags.
The
it goes
one
like
going
up and down
over
and
the freeway.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's great because the, I mean, my path to because I take the train,
mm-hmm.
my path is either of those two.
Yep.
Because the streets to the right to the east, are not safe.
Yep.
Especially
is,
during daytime.
Well, that's exactly why.
So that's great.
We wanted this connection was to get to the Front Runner station in Woods Cross. So I did. We just got Prop 1 funds for the Pacific Avenue section. So that's
yeah,
the
and that
type
road's
of
pro- in
that's
a terrible
the type of project that they fund for Prop 1.
Yeah, that north end of Main Street and Overland are roads in terrible condition.
What's the other Davis County one, the third quarter cent?
That's also for like transportation projects, so active transportation infrastructure. So we, let's see, what did we do for
do
that one?
Do
We've also done like a color drive sidewalk project for one of these Davis County ones.
What would we, since the big ones are the UORG, surprisingly, February, March is not that far away.
Mm-hmm.
What would it take to apply for something there?
you have to have a lot of the legwork done in advance. So we'd have to definitely have a design already. We'd have to be in the process of permitting with the Forest Service. We'd have to be already in process with the Forest Service. And you have to have council approval as well and funding matching. I think it's a 50-50 grant. But they do a workshop tour, and that's, so I'm signed up for their workshop, and then they open up the grant applications after the workshop.
It'd be nice to signal to council that getting something constructed next fall would be super nice.
Constructed next fall?
I don't know if that's possible, and this is where you can say, Peter, that won't happen.
Shoot for it.
But if I were to put down something, I'd say, if we can be done November 1st at the latest, it'd be even better if we could be done by June 1st. But I don't think that that's possible, unless you tell me.
They don't even award the funds
right
until after that.
Yeah. So, but if we. If we can get that bypass in, that would be ideal. Because then it would sit over the winter, and you'd have some good settling, and then that spring you'd have good trail.
So anyway, there's this, and I can.
Cool.
Thanks for putting that together.
Refine this and put this in the SharePoint drive if you guys want me to, so you can look at it later. I can also put kind of the amounts that you can expect for each of these.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. The maximum amount for the mins or?
Yeah.
Or the range.
And then John?
Oh, yes, just a reminder for the holiday party. So I think you resent all those.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, and when you sent them out again.
Okay.
Yeah. And she asked for an RSVP if you didn't RSVP already.
With the preference of
steak or
steak or fish or salmon.
Steak or salmon.
Tofu and cheese. Mm.
Does that bring your own tofu?
Should be. Okay.
It's not here.
City Council updates. So we'll move on after this one. Okay. Discussion and recommendation on trails master plan consultant selection.
Okay. So I'll take this one, but then Brandon, Peter, if you can chime in as well. So the selection committee met. We received 5 proposals from Avid Trails, Bike Utah, Blue Line, SD Group, and Teton and Geo. We were tasked with ranking the proposals according to these 5 categories, and they were all weighted categories. So they were all put into a spreadsheet. Everybody ranked theirs. We put it into a combined scoring, and then we had discussion and had the opportunity to change our ranking. We then decided we wanted a little bit more information from the top 2, which were SE Group and Bike Utah. So I called and emailed references and asked some questions for each of them. And based off of that information, SE Group was ranked number 1 by the selection committee. So that being said, the process, well, and the thing with SE Group was our budget was $50,000, but SE Group came in at $60,000 with an optional add-on of an extra $5,000. The optional add-on would make the project more shovel-ready so that we could really hit the ground running with the Trails Master Plan. And so they argued that that would be a more efficient use of funds long-term because you'd be resolving the issues up front rather than having to hire another consultant to then do the work again to resolve those issues as far as being design ready to move forward.
And that rings true, right? I mean, in your experience, that's...
Yes,
yeah.
I think...
Okay.
So I called them because the selection committee had some concerns with the budget being 20% over. And they said that, and John met with them too. They said, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I was there.
That's what I thought. So they said, I'll just read from the staff report. They emphasize that their budget reflects a realistic and honest approach to the project. They propose the optional services, including further stakeholder engagement, another public engagement event, and an enhanced trails master plan. The enhanced trails master plan would make the proposed trails more implementation ready. It would get the city from ballpark cost estimates to more shovel-ready projects that would be ready to deliver to the Forest Service for permitting and environmental work. So city staff found that it was in the best interest of the committee to recommend that the city council increase the budget of the project from $50,000 to $65,000 in order to receive a more usable product that will be more efficient use of funds long term by resolving issues up front rather than having to hire another consultant in the future to do further work before committing.
Yeah, totally agree.
So the process now is that you, the selection committee has made a recommendation to the Trails and Active Transportation Committee. The Trails and Active Transportation Committee then needs to make a recommendation to the City Council, and then the City Council will make the final approval. We'll have the final approval of the project, or of the consultant. And then in your recommendation, it would need to say that you guys recommend that the budget be increased to $65,000. So then we would go for a budget adjustment after the City Council approves the consultant.
What's the likelihood of that?
Probably very good.
Very good.
I mean, from a overall city budget, $15,000 is not a lot, but the value side, which thank you for that follow-up, if we don't have to hire another consultant, that actually is probably a savings at least $30,000.
Yeah.
You know, so if it will be more shovel ready, then that absolutely is the right choice to go get more budget. So, because it takes us, instead of 10 miles down the road of a 100 mile road, it takes us to 95 for an extra $15,000.
So we need a motion to recommend that the Active and Transportation Committee recommend approval to the City Council selecting SE Group as a consultant. The Trails Master Plan project and increasing the budget for the project to $65,000.
So what questions do you guys have? I mean, because we'll take, I mean, I'm sure Brent will take a motion right away, but I don't want to make the motion while there's, if there's any concerns or questions.
Yeah, I'll go back one slide, please, Ali. Who participated in the ranking of those proposals?
It was Peter, so it's here in the staff report. It was John and I, and then Peter and Brent.
Four people?
Yes, and we originally had TJ Riley on there as well, but he didn't.
Was it a close call, or were the top two far from the rest?
After we had the discussion and re-ranked, SE Group was far above the rest.
Okay.
So I think they were a 4.11, and the next was like a 3.85, if I remember.
On a five-point scale.
Yeah. And out of 65 grand, how many people are they dedicated to this project, timeline?
It's quite a few.
Just got a scale of cost.
Yeah, it's
of
in
cost.
This packet that I sent out.
Fully two,
and then a couple that are assigned to the project are former Forest Service employees.
Yeah, kind of advisor type roles.
Yeah.
The depth of their group was pretty impressive.
That's good.
We thought Bike Utah would be impressive. Avid obviously has some experience, but SE Group from a what I call bench strength really was pretty good and impressive.
So here's their team members and
their
amount of hours that they're committing.
Oh, okay. Well, this is
very thorough. Yeah.
Yeah,
and that was in the second.
And how long do they expect to present that master plan?
How long will it take?
Yeah, 6 months.
So
ending around June, July.
But they didn't want, they were the ones that we had said start time of now, and they said, I think we should start in January so we have better public engagement, we have better field analysis on the trails, that kind of stuff. So they thought of, and they were the only ones that suggested a different timeline.
That's awesome. It's a competitive rate. I would expect it to cost more for 6 months of work. So,
well, it's not full time, but yeah.
It is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
along those, so when I was looking through this, the project schedule, it looks like there's, and they have this in the document, right? There's five core things they're working on. Project management, public outreach, and then I would think, and it, to me, kind of just on paper, it looks like the public outreach is a lot of work. But I would think that, like, the existing conditions and assessment of all the trails would be like a mountain of work, like just walking all the trails, which there's a lot. Or maybe they're doing that by drone, who knows what they're doing, but just capturing all that and then coming up with a recommendation. And just, it, like, I'm with Pedro, like, unless I'm misunderstanding the deliverable, that this is like, you know, really cheap for what I'm expecting out of them.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm misaligned on what I'm expecting as to what I'm concerned about.
No, I think that I heard from a couple of the consultants before they sent in their proposals that this was a really low budget for the project. $50,000 was really low. And so I recommended to them that, like, tell us what you can do for $50,000, or tell us what, how much it would cost reasonably for you to do this project, and then if there are things that you can do as optional add-ons, list them that way. And so that's exactly what SE Group did.
With the add-ons, yeah.
With the add-ons is, yeah, they were like, realistically, it's gonna cost us $60,000. And we have, like, I don't know how much it was, $15,000 or something of optional add-ons. When John and I talked to them about their costs, they were like, yeah, we saw this project and we really wanted this project. And so we met and thought, like, what can we do to trim this budget? Where can we trim this budget so that we're competitive with this project, because we really want to get this one? So I was impressed with that they already were trying to trim the fat anywhere that they could. And that they were so motivated that they were kind of not, they said, how can we reduce the cost without reducing the quality?
Mm-hmm.
We put that a few times. So.
But at the end of the day, the main deliverable is an inventory of all of the trails that we have, their condition, recommendations on improving them, which trails should be
prioritization,
and then which new trails should be constructed,
and the alignment of those,
and then public outreach and input on those things. Mm-hmm. Is there anything I'm missing?
And they partnered with Utah State University.
No, Utah Conservation Corps.
Utah Conservation Corps to do the field work, who has experience in trail
inventory
construction.
Inventory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Traveling experience.
They're the ones that did Arch Wild Rose job, right?
What's that?
No.
No, is it?
That's Avid Trails.
No. The maintenance.
No. That's a different group.
No, this is Utah Conservation Corps, which isn't a state organization, right?
So the other one was the Forest Service?
The other one was the
Utah Division of Outdoor Recreation, a state organization.
Okay. Cool. Because I'm ready to make the motion.
You guys, I'm assuming, I mean, three of the committee members were selection committee members are here, so.
All of the selection committee is here.
All the selection committee is here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just if
we don't
Ryan vote. And Pedro have any other questions.
No, this was awesome. I trust you better than anyone. All right, I, Pedro, move that the Trails and Active Transportation Committee recommend approval to the City Council of selecting SE Group as the consultant for the Trails Master Plan project and increasing the budget for the project to $65,000.
have a second.
Anyone can say it, right? I will second that.
I just don't want the
selection.
I don't, yeah. That's why I keep the mic on the show.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Very exciting.
It is very exciting.
And so that will be presented to council.
On the 18th.
On the 18th?
Next Tuesday.
Okay, and then a kickoff meeting in January is what they wanted to do, or I guess.
That's what they said. So we'd go from council approval to contracting.
Yeah.
I don't know how long, over the holidays, how long that's going to take with them.
January is probably reasonable anyway.
I think January is probably reasonable, but, yep.
Okay, drafting of the 2025 annual report for the city council.
Do you want me to take that one real quick?
Yes, since you're the one who drafted it.
So the action item from last time was just for me to put together an outline. So the last page of the handout for this meeting, the outline was in there. And I just threw the kitchen sink at it, everything that I thought of as an idea. Obviously, we don't have to do all of these or most of them. But we have a lot to share, I think, with the city council and all the things that we've done this year. And even, I was in the Greenway meeting sitting next to the city manager, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
And he leaned over and he goes, "We have heard everything you guys are doing on the Trails Committee, and it's awesome." And I was like, yes, because we are doing a lot. So I think now's our time to kind of share with the city council like everything we're doing, which is a lot. So when is it due, Allie?
January, Brent, I'm assuming, will be presenting it to the city council on January 20th.
Do we have to submit it before then, like a pre-read?
In the packet.
In the packet?
So the packets due the Wednesday before that.
Okay.
So that being said, we should also discuss if we're going to have a December meeting or not.
Okay.
But there will be time for you to have a January meeting.
Before.
On the 13th. And then you'd have to submit your report the next day.
16th.
The 14th.
14th.
So the January 13th is the scheduled Trails Committee
okay.
date.
And the 14th
is
the due date.
The 14th is when we have to have packets ready.
December 13th?
January.
So if we want to, I mean, because there's a lot to do here, so if we wanted to break it up between committee members and just start knocking this out, I think that would be nice.
Kind of chapters?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Put it on the...
Just put it on the SharePoint site and go
start
to
building
town
it out.
On it. Yeah.
Did you upload this to the SharePoint or just send it to me? Is that why you did it?
I don't remember what I did.
I'll upload it to
did
the,
you?
I'll make sure it's okay. uploaded to the SharePoint.
And this, you know, what's an average or desired length for these reports?
I heard 30 slides is
30,
optimal.
Yeah,
how many minutes?
20 to 30 minutes, probably, is what you'll.
Okay.
Oh,
well, really?
20, 30 minute presentation.
Okay, that's way longer than I thought. Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
It'll go faster than you think.
Yeah. You don't want 30 slides for 30 minutes.
I know, I was just kidding about that.
Maybe 6 slides.
But that's with Q&A from council?
Yeah.
So you're talking... I mean, typically that would be the 10-15 minute presentation with 15-minute Q&A,
yeah.
That sort of thing.
I think they will start to fade fast if you're talking.
If you talk for 30, yeah. I was gonna say it'll probably take 20 to 30 minutes with the
Q&A
questions and stuff.
I don't know how anybody can get bored over our report.
No kidding.
To them.
That's exactly right. Well, and the thing is, we do. I think pictures.
Yeah. And we have lots of pictures.
We have lots of pictures, so I think we can.
Well, we
share
have some
pictures.
Certain timelines and. Things that we can roadmap through that,
yeah.
Hey, this is the 5-year plan, you know, of
I mean, I think the fact that
propose.
We got a master plan going, we had trail maintenance, we had activities, we had a crew in,
mm-hmm.
purchase tools, there's a lot of
mm-hmm.
there's a lot
stuff.
Of good highlights,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Isn't it cool what you guys have done?
We should bring the tools to the
We should bring
it
to
you. Should.
This
it
is
won't.
Our grabber.
Instead
this is
of
our.
Instead of the pitchforks, you can come with the trail tools.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we do have pitchforks
out there, right?
Yeah.
As part of the trail tools, so if you want to bring those.
Or teach them what the trail tool is and why it's important.
Pulaski or whatever it's called.
Yeah,
the
Pulaski. And give a little history lesson.
So there's on this proposed, I mean, it's just an idea for us to start thinking about, but there's too much on there. So we really need to decide what we want to.
Okay, so is this a presentation or is this a written report?
Both.
Yeah, kind of just what you guys have been doing.
Okay, so this is an update to the council.
Yeah.
It's not a, like a going into the.
It's not going
into
the.
It's not a written history that, you know.
No.
Well,
it, but
okay.
You would need to write some type of staff report, right? Or like a memo.
Yeah, that's what
for
we
the
would
packet.
Need for the packet. We wouldn't.
So we need a memo from the committee
okay.
for the packet, and then your actual presentation will just be day of.
So that's a key deliverable is the presentation.
With a, and a memo.
A memo.
Yeah.
But the staff report memo is
what page?
Yeah, which you could, after you have the presentation together, it'd be pretty just a synopsis of
yeah.
what your presentation
okay.
is for your staff memo.
Okay. You know, and I also think since we've done so much this year, I also think it's probably not a bad time to kind of plant some seeds of things we want to ask for.
Absolutely.
So
that's what we should have. We should have a 5-year plan, or at least a 3-year.
We should develop a trails master plan.
I know
yeah,
we're not
going
to have.
Well,
but are
right.
we going to? We're not going to have anything.
But if we say we're getting a master plan and then we want to start chipping away at stuff, what does that?
You say the master plan will give us.
Will dictate
segment one, segment
but,
two.
But we
know
in the next 2 years we want to do the segment at Wild Rose and BST.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
we know
coming out of the master
you know,
plan,
like,
we're going to shut down trails, we're
yeah.
going to build new ones.
And just put on what we know, and then if we want to start guessing at where we'd start, but I don't think that's necessary, but I think we just, as a general thing, here's the next 3 years, and, you know, the third year could be as defined by master plan. But, which could be addition of trailhead, additional trails, shutting down, like you just list out so that when we come and say, hey, in 2 years we want to close this trail because we're adding this, it's already been on the record and on the books.
I think starting with what you've accomplished is probably best to be like,
oh,
look
yeah.
at all we've done in a year, and
yeah.
here's some of our ideas moving forward
yeah.
from there.
Right.
Because then we'll be like, wow, look at what they did
it's
with
all
such
missing.
A low budget. We should give them more money.
So I put on the item of number 3, I put out all the things I could think of that we had done this year, but I have a bad memory. So if you guys can think of anything else, that's like, put those in.
I think this could take advantage of a shared document on
yeah.
that folder that we can all edit and add items as we think about them. Because right now, yeah, my memory is just as bad. But tomorrow in the shower, I'll remember something that needs to be on that list, you know?
Yeah. I don't think it would be a bad idea to go back and maybe, like, look at the minutes from the meetings.
Yeah.
And list the dates of those service activities,
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, photos.
And then, yeah, moving forward, we plan on these activity types and presence.
And talk about your bike valet thing and your bike rack thing that we're
bike
barking and all those kind of programs that you guys want to do.
I was in the restroom. When do we have to submit this
oh.
or present?
It's going to be on the council meeting on January 20th.
Okay.
And I think Brent's going to be there to present. Of course, you guys are welcome to come to that council meeting if you want.
Oh, yeah.
But the 13th. We have a meeting scheduled for the 13th.
December.
And then of January.
January.
And then the next day. Oh, is that unplugged the whole thing?
Yeah, but I think we're still okay.
Okay.
Three other microphones in here.
And then the next day is when the packets are due, so that's when you have the memo to us to put in the council packet.
Oh, yeah, no, that meeting is too late.
That meeting's too late?
Yeah. The day before?
Oh, no, you guys need to have it, like, pretty much done by,
yeah,
the,
yeah.
by the January meeting.
I think we should have
draft.
A draft.
Yeah,
I mean,
we should.
I think we have a December meeting and have
yeah.
a draft that we finalize. And
yeah, it could be like a sole item in the agenda.
You know, December 9th would be our meeting, I think.
Yeah, let's do. I think we need to meet in December. Even if it's just to talk about this. Maybe a working session or something, if we need it.
So do you want to have a December meeting just for this item?
I mean, a working session is not a bad idea. Just to do going through just this one item.
I say yes. There's already a calendar item here, so we were planning on it.
Yeah, I think we do.
So I'll put it on the SharePoint drive. Do you, are you wanting to assign different sections for people to flesh out into
yeah.
a memo?
I think that's a good idea. Do we want to do right now? Who's not here, Kyle?
Kyle's not here. You
just
have
kidding.
4 minutes if you're leaving us.
I know, I just got the text that they're coming to get me. I'll take accomplishments. I mean, I'll go through the minutes and just find out everything that we did. If we want to at least start with that. I think, Allie, you have most of the pictures.
I can just dump all the photos that I have into
perfect.
The SharePoint. Draft
okay.
For you, so you can make the presentation for me.
And I'll look through my camera roll and send any others.
Yeah. That can be a place where we store those pictures too.
Stated goals and objectives.
Those should be there.
I can take that one.
Okay.
We'll just start a PowerPoint template, right, Allie? Like this, you'll get this type of template blank that we can
yeah.
just start to populate.
I think John should take the signage and access, or at least provide pictures.
Of some of the stuff that we...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe even bring your bring examples.
Yeah,
as we
bring that.
I think that'd be smart.
You can draft number 6.
And Ryan, on the accomplishments,
okay.
there's not the trail cleanup week where we had the crew out there. I don't think that's listed on here.
Yeah. That's just
okay.
Some of this stuff's a quick list and pictures, or
yeah.
pictures and showing the work.
And lessons learned. That may be
Pedro, what did you say you were going to take?
Number 6. Successful 2026, what we need.
Yeah.
I hesitate to assign anything to Kyle just because I don't know what capacity he has right now.
I'll just be the gap filler. Put that out there, and
okay.
and I'll throw stuff on all of them.
In the appendix, I thought it would be interesting to estimate the number of volunteer hours, like all the people that came, because I think it would be pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
There's scans of all of that up on the drive, right?
That, yeah.
And a goal to double it next year.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that plays into the just serve and.
Yeah.
Something else that I'm working on.
Okay, we'll start with that.
So somebody will get a template and send out
yes.
the link, and then we'll be able just to edit that.
Okay.
I'll do a template of the presentation and some type of template for the memo.
And then we want our draft content in for the December meeting. Right?
Yes.
That's the goal for each of these sections.
And do a
yeah.
quick work session, a quick
yeah.
work session in December,
yeah.
So that then you can just polish it up for the January meeting and do other things in the January agenda as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on this agenda item?
Nope.
Okay. Committee member discussion items.
Working with Brent and John on the agenda for this meeting, Brent said we should focus the committee discussion on like 1 to 2 items each time instead of having a huge list to discuss, so we can just flesh out.
Knock it out, get it detailed and
yep.
action item, and then we can identify what are we going to talk about next month.
Yeah.
Which items.
So there were 2 things that I knew Pedro had said that he would be presenting on the bike racks in this meeting, and then Peter, when we were out on site, got some information about an adopt-a-trail type of stewardship program from Salt Lake City that he wanted to share as well. So, you have to leave.
I do. Are we okay on
We're still a quorum.
You're still
quorum if I leave?
Quorum.
Okay.
Yep.
I will read the minutes on this.
Here, take one home. Angry Faces is where the city need bike parking.
I was wondering what
I like that.
Angry
okay.
Faces
yeah.
met. I was like, this looks like a very angry map. So I guess we'll start with Pedro then.
Yeah, very quickly. This won't take much, but if you guys remember, a couple months ago, I rode my bike to one of these meetings, and I was very surprised to see that City Hall does not have a bike parking solution. There are fences around, but some places do not allow bike parking on fences, including my place of work. They will remove your bike if you're just locking into a fence on campus. So that was a problem. We definitely do need a bike parking solution here at City Hall, and that made us think about where else do we need bike racks. I drove around the city this last
week. You mean
you
rode around on your bike, right?
No, I drove because it would have been several hours going up the hills and then back down, and I was short on time. So I got my EV, still eco-friendly. And I drove around town to parks that the city has some facilities for reservation, like places that I consider to be destinations in town where we're likely to host events and parties, where you'll find restrooms, where you will find pavilions. And I was surprised to see that there are only two parks in town that offer a bike parking in the form of a small rack, and those are Tunnel Springs and Wild Rose. I understand them to be quite recent developments, like they were constructed not that long ago. Am I correct, or was that a flawed assumption?
Mm-hmm. Like 2011, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. The rest of the city does not offer anything similar to what Tunnel Springs and Wild Rose do. There's also, you know, the more I thought about it, it also created a problem of an issue of inequity because, you know, the wealthiest parts of town have two beautiful parks with bike parking and the rest doesn't. And we don't want to send that message. So everything again, you see everything again that you see there with an angry face are parks and City Hall, community garden that I anticipate people biking to, with nowhere to safely store their bikes. I did fail to add the, what's it called? The boat launch thing by the river on the west side, yeah. That could be a fun place to have something like that because I'm sure people will host events and parties over there.
And you know what I would add is, I don't know if there's a program to do bike lockers at parking, like at bus stops, major bus stops.
I've seen them, yeah.
You know, so you can.
Salt Lake City has a lot of that on track stations,
yeah,
and Front Runner.
Because frankly, most of the time, if you lock it up, unless you're carrying around a chain, that bike's gone at the end of the day.
There's a chance, hopefully not so much here in, you know, suburban North Salt Lake, but yeah, Salt Lake City, that's a common.
No, I had one stolen from the Woods Cross Station.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit. But, you know, Legacy Park, a huge park. We host events there all the time. There's the splash pad, 5 football fields. It's adjacent to Legacy Parkway. There's the new Woods Cross Dog Park right next to it, and nowhere to safely store a bike. So this is just a need that is obvious. And with you guys' support, I can start thinking about what type of bike racks we could propose city council to fund. I assume that's not cheap. A bike rack in each of these 7-8 parks is probably going to be thousands of dollars to get installed. So it's not something that will happen tomorrow, but it's something that I would be happy to formalize a plan with a design and where the rack should go if you guys think it's worthy of pursuing something like that.
Definitely think that there's a priority on different parks,
mm-hmm,
based on usage and whatever, like Legacy, absolutely. City Hall, I think the optics are much better,
yeah,
as well. Right. And then the others, I'm just not familiar with the total usage. I'm sure Fox Hollow. Is Fox Hollow the small pocket park?
Fox,
yeah,
Hollow's
next
right
to the elementary
school.
Yeah, it's small. There's one pavilion and one restroom there. I'm not sure how many people bike there every year.
I don't know if we needed to include Mathis on this.
Yeah, there are parks missing on this map, which I can fill in those gaps.
There are neighborhood parks that I can find on Google Maps, but they don't have much. That's why I didn't include. These are parks that the city lists in their facilities list on the websites that you can reserve something on them.
Okay.
If you don't see it there, it wasn't on the city's facilities list. Yeah.
So from a prioritization, I think that this is.
I think so. These places are likely to have a restroom, a pavilion. They are likely to host bigger events. So that's why they're on my list here.
I think it's silly that Legacy doesn't have one.
Yeah.
It's right next to the trail.
Right next to the trail, and again, with the number of events, it just makes sense. I mean, I almost want to point that one out to get funded or designed and done soon.
Okay, so should I continue to simmer this idea and bring a plan?
In
January or sometime?
I believe that Salt Lake City has a bicycle rack program for businesses, and so you might look into that in terms of what rack they provide. You know, and that probably gives you a pretty good design. And
I looked it up. It's paused right now. They are hoping to bring it back on the next budget cycle. They are discussing if they still have the money for something.
Do they have like the recommended design on
I'll look it up.
Yeah.
I'll try to find that.
I took a training once. from Bike Utah about how to like install the bike racks. So they will give you, if there's an issue with the council saying we don't have budget to install these things or whatever, like you guys can learn how to do it and install them. And Bike Utah has the program where it's for businesses and they'll go in and install it for the business. And so they were just teaching about how to install and like what were the best types of bike racks and stuff. So like Utah might be a good resource for as you're researching some of this.
Okay, no, good enough. The third link over there is an interesting page that shows what makes a good bike rack, what makes a bad bike rack.
Oh, so next page?
Oh, the links
no,
are there.
The
I don't have any visual resources. It's there for reference.
It's an active link.
But it seems like the good bike racks are permanently installed. They're gonna be like
not just
under
bolts.
Concrete in the floor. Yeah, so that's what makes them more expensive, I believe. But
not just like bolted down.
Not just that.
Right.
Yeah.
So they can take the rack and everything.
Yeah. All the bikes.
Exactly. And there are designs that allow.
Yeah.
There are designs that allow for a larger density of bikes. They're better for this or worse for that. There's a lot of science. There's a science behind this. Like there's a lot of information out there. But I'd love to see more bike parking solutions in the city's parks. So I'll continue to research and bring more on future meetings. Hopefully it is something that we can petition or ask for funding in the future. Or a grant.
Yeah.
I'm a terrible grant writer. But if anyone
this
was to write
a good thing to put in that report too, as far as
I
future.
Think so too. Because it's an inventory item that we can report back on.
Thanks, Peter.
Cool.
So I guess the next committee member discussion was Peter wanted to talk about this youth program.
Yeah, so this is more of an Adopt a Trails program. And Trail Boss is one idea, but as we were together with the Salt Lake City Trails, they were floating an idea that he had, and he actually took some time to document it out a few years ago and had some things, and I can put this on the, or I'll at least do a PDF up to the SharePoint site, but how taking it as a youth leadership development type program and creating an adopted trails around it to where you'd have youth groups. I mean, one of the trails groups that came to help us with service was Boy Scouts, or the Scouts USA, I think it's called now. But what would happen is that, much like the Adopt a Highway program, you'd have segments of the trail that you would either assign, or you'd make it so that you could put up you know, adopted by and put whoever's there. But anyway, so it was just an idea that they floated. I'm probably going to take it a little further with NICA, which is the Utah Mountain Biking Organization, or that's NICA's national, but the Utah League. I'm going to be bringing this to their attention. It might be something that they want to sort of pursue with all of the different trails committees. Salt Lake has a lot of trails. They're even thinking of having the University of Utah also be a school that sponsors a set of trails. But it's something that's interesting enough that that I think would be good to support and perhaps emulate in terms of the adopted trails, especially as we start naming segments rather than everything being Wild Rose. I mean, yep, this is, or Wild Rose is sponsored by the Woods Cross Mountain Bike Team, and the Woodbriar Trailhead is sponsored by the Scouts USA of, you know, so and so, you know, but having different programs there. But anyway, it's just the beginnings of thinking around that. He has a 2.5-page document.
Who is he?
This was the Salt Lake.
Tyler.
Yeah.
The one you met out on the Valley.
Yeah. And he met with the West High School mountain bike coach, my counterpart at West, and about a year ago, but nothing came of it. So I'm going to sort of take it on and see if we can get the league to look at it, but get others involved as well, because it's not just the mountain bikers on the trails. So anyway, no action from this at all, just informational at best for now, but be looking at doing trainings and having stewards and, you know, leveraging the teams that, you know, because there's required trail service hours for each of the high school mountain bike teams that they have to do. So there's a lot there. So that's all. Did you have, I mean, it literally was a 5-minute conversation, this part of it. So
yeah, well, I just thought it like dovetailed in with what Ryan had brought from the previous meeting about the trail boss idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this could be one of many options to make that happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all.
Thank you both. Future agenda items. I guess we have our ongoing list of committee member discussion items that we can work through. Those don't necessarily need to be agendized, but we can include them.
Well, so the next meeting will just be the work session meeting, right?
Yeah.
And then, so then in the January meeting, you'll be polishing up the annual report. And then what else do you want from the January?
Have you heard back from the outdoor recreation on how they're redoing their maintenance schedule for next year?
I have not yet.
Do you remember when she passed the torch
on to somebody else?
Oh, she did?
So there's a different person running it now.
Okay.
But I haven't heard anything from that person yet. So.
I think a standing agenda item is going to have to be the Charles Master Plan and updates from either the SE group or the representative going to those meetings.
Yep.
And even starting in January, I mean, even though they'll be 2 weeks in, just
maybe that could be the kickoff.
We have boots on the ground and work started, and that may be it from that first one, but just giving those periodic updates would be great.
As far as the committee member discussion items, like what items are you wanting to bring to that meeting in January?
Do we have our scheduled set of activities for 20, like our service trail cleaning days?
I think we
did.
Yeah, we have
the
four,
those.
Right? We have
yeah.
Purchase Birch, National Trails Day, 9/11 Day of Service.
Where are those documented? Do we have them in the meeting?
In minutes. They're just in minutes, yeah.
A couple meetings ago, we discussed that schedule.
Yeah, I have written.
No, I'll look them up. I just wanted to be sure.
Well, I mean, it's like four. So we have the, we're going to do May. We're going to do a monthly cleanup in, so we're doing Purge the Spurge.
In April.
On April 11th. Then we're doing a May cleanup.
National
Trails.
Then
we have National Trails Day on June 6th. Oh, and we have Golden Spoke on May 9th.
That's pretty low key.
And then we were going to do an August cleanup and then 9/11 Day of Service on September 5th.
And that's it, right?
And I think we had an October cleanup as well.
That one ended up being the Youth City Council this year. It's the end of September.
Okay.
So we have like our Purge the Spurge, National Trails Day, Golden Spoke, 9/11 Day of Service, but then also we have a May, August, and an October trail cleanup.
Okay. Perfect.
So do we want to be, so we've got those like scheduled. I don't know that we'd be needing to plan Purge the Spurge that far out.
I mean, do we know where, what, do we need to find out where we're targeting, or is it the same geologic park?
We won't know until it starts to grow, right?
I mean, TJ may know.
January, or should we just wait?
Yeah, I would wait till February or March.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't take that much to plan that. I mean, we know the date, we know what materials we'll need, we just don't know the location.
Maybe the focus.
From last year.
Maybe the focus over winter should be more on the programs, like the play correcting and stuff, so that then we can start, because we've got budgeting that we'll have to have the budget done by February, right?
Yeah.
So if there's anything that we need to get.
Most of it done by February, we will have budget retreat like in April, March, April.
So $10 million for trust.
So if we need to get anything on the budget for next fiscal year, we would need to do that. We need to plan that in January.
So the alignment, et cetera, that you're going to get from Salt Lake City that we would want to go to construction, right?
While there's alignment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The connection to Bonneville. BST.
And that,
but I think our budget asks need to be on that January meeting because.
Yeah. And I think that's what I'm saying is it would be
that
one of those budget asks.
One of those requests.
Yeah, budget requests. Okay.
And then I guess, so you made contact with the Outdoor Recreation, they just need to get back with you on what their new process for the program.
Yeah, I'm on their like email list, so
okay.
Will send me updates about it, but like I haven't heard from this new person at all. So.
Okay.
But I will make a note to like look into that a little further.
Because I think we just want to make sure we get on their maintenance calendar again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And if we can coordinate the work between volunteers and the team, and just like what we did last time, where okay, in order to prep, we've got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do we need materials hoofed up the trail so that we can, you know, do we need to bring boulders up somewhere? I don't know.
Yeah. John, are the signs ready for Wild Rose? Like, can they be put, so we're going to have to wait till spring because the ground's going to be frozen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even have the final. I mean, I almost got the design finalized for them, but
okay.
We haven't cleaned it up.
And we know where all of those go, right? You guys already.
I had made
do
a
we
map.
Do we need to go back out? Have conditions
no.
changed? Okay.
I don't think so.
So that's not something that needs to be reviewed?
No.
Okay.
I think as long as we get them up April, if I can say April, if I were to put a deadline, because that's spring.
Since the ground thaws.
And I don't know if we're going to get different direction on signage from our Trails Master Plan.
Yeah.
I thought we we were just putting these signs up, like, because they're so needed right now that we're putting them up, and then the Trails Master Plan is going to say reroute trails or close off trails, and then we have to change the signage.
So maybe we...
Most of the signs that I had planned to put up were going to be on trails that I don't think are going anywhere.
Won't change, yeah, that's what we had said, that just like the priority signs, yeah. Okay.
All right, anything else?
I move that we adjourn.
I second.
You don't need a vote on this one, right?
No.